If there's something I need, I don't already have. I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something I need, I don't already have. I know I'll get it from a good friend. Hi, everybody. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, and you're listening to the Good Friend Podcast, presented to you by iHeartRadio. It's a podcast about friendship. We talk about everything. We cry, we laugh, we think about what it really means to be a good friend. And I have conversations with some of my best friends, some people I've never met, and sort of everything in between. So I hope by the end of it that you have a really good sense of what friendship means to me and the people that I consider friends. And I hope you can take those same ideas into your own friendship groups. And I hope you enjoy it. Guess what? We're going to start rolling. That's how easy this is. And by the way, we're not on camera. It's just...
Okay, good.
No. Can you imagine if I was that person? Can you imagine if I was that person who was like, surprise? Okay, here I go. Watch this. Welcome to my listener. I like to say that I have one listener because then I feel like I'm not alone in the airspace. But I also try not to have so much hubris that I think I have thousands. So to my listener, I am so delighted. To be talking today to my newest good friend, Michelle Yeoh, who I'm not even going to describe who or what she is and does, except we worked together recently and I did a rap which went, you say Michelle, I say yo, Michelle yo, Michelle yo. Sorry, I know, I can't help myself. Welcome to the Good Friend Podcast, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. It's a real privilege and honor.
Well, of course, I'm going to ask you. You represent what is good about friendship because you have such passion for your friends and family. I think you have a bigger passion for your friends and family than anybody I've spoken to. You're so fierce and like delighted by them.
It sounds like you're talking about you. That's how I feel about you. You put yourself out there without any reservation and say it for what it is. And that's why I really loved you from the first text message you sent me.
Yes.
When you asked me to run away with you.
Well, I was so delighted we got to be in a movie that we won't even discuss here because we don't know when it's going to come out. And
right. That
way we don't even, and it's not, this isn't about movies. It's about how you connect with people. Since I have met you, you have been around the world 4 times and have worked.
Story of my life.
Yes. So, and that's what I want to start with is the story of your life. First of all, how do you maintain friendship when you travel and work as much as you do?
I think when you have, when you make a friend, it's a mutual understanding, connection, a bond that doesn't have fixed rules that you must do certain things in a certain way. I think it's an understanding, it's a non-judgmental, it's just free love. And I have always been very, very lucky to meet and become really good friends with people like that. It's like with you.
Yeah.
We don't talk all the time, but we know, and we've not met for so long, but the bond is like, you know, there is a true connection. And if you call, I will be there. And that's with all my friends since I've known since school or really dear friends and family in Hong Kong and around the world, that they know that even though I don't see them all the time, or I'm not calling them and texting them and, you know, writing them mail all the time, anytime when we are in the same area or if something, I think that's when you know who are your friends, not when you're having a great time. It's when there is need and there is, when you know that you're unhappy and they know it too, and they are there for you. So I think that's, for me, has always been what my friends are. Very, very dear in that way. I'm a little bit emotional today because I just came off watching a concert, a live concert in Hong Kong, and it's remembering a dear friend, actor, singer, who died April 1st, almost like 18 years ago. And in the same year, I lost one of my best friends, Anita Mui. So watching the whole event taking place and them showing photos of movies that they did together, and it was heartbreaking, very nostalgic. But it's such a good feeling as well.
Well, of course, because friendship doesn't die.
Yeah, that is true. I think that is the most precious thing, that we had that moment, that we had that good times together, and they will just stay with you forever.
You now have me thinking about so many people.
I'm sorry. I was going to call you and say, maybe we should do this some other time. I'm sorry.
But just thinking about so many friends of mine.
Right?
And I miss them so much. Yeah. And I wish they could be a part of my life today and know my family and know how much they meant to me. It's so powerful what you just said.
But they will always be in your heart. I mean, I remember them, I reminisce, and you know, we start crying and laughing but celebrating as well, because we had those moments together. And they will always stay with us, and they will always be precious. So I'm very thankful that, you know, even though they didn't continue the journey for a much longer period of time, what we had will always be very special.
Yes. So,
right?
Yeah. Wow. Friendship never dies.
It goes on.
Yeah. And you know, I think in the conception of this podcast, because it was conceived at the beginning of COVID.
Oh, gosh.
And the separations that we were starting to feel, I think this is the first time in all of the interviews that I've done where the idea of lost friends has come up in such a real way. And I want to honor them in a way, in a weird way, from what you just came from, is now going to open a whole new aspect of thinking about people who are gone, and yet I am so much better because of knowing them.
Right. We should never forget them, you know, because they will always be a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And how we have evolved as a person. So,
well, thank you for bringing them into the podcast, because they have as much a voice as the, you know, people that I'm
here and now.
Yeah.
Right.
Where did you grow up?
In Malaysia. So I was born in Ipoh, a small mining city in Malaysia. And it's a very multiracial society. I was there until I was 16, and then I went on to England to study. So I grew up in the tropical climates of Malaysia.
And as a child, you know, we make friendship bonds. I mean, obviously, most people, when you say good friend, you start thinking about friends from your past. And here's an example where you and I are new friends. We only met a couple years ago.
Right.
And only had a creative nugget together, and then
just took off
and then gone. Yeah. And yet the feelings remain so, so powerful. But when you were young, did you stay in the same place? Did you have, do you still have childhood friends?
I still have a few. But most of my school friends, people that I grew up with, they are scattered all over the world. They are in Australia and, you know, many, many different places. So there's a handful where we do stay in touch. And when I do go back to Ipoh, sometimes we have an alumni, and if I'm there at the right time, I get to see them. And they're very, very sweet. They, you know, they write to me and say, oh, we're having this get together. Are you in town? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I'm not, but I'm grateful that they still remember and they will still, you know, put me in the loop to say, come join us.
How old were you when you started performing?
Oh, in Hong Kong, I was 23. I started in 85 in Hong Kong. So that's why Hong Kong has a really special place in my heart. That place is like a second home to me because I spent so many great, great years and I love Hong Kong.
And the friendships, I guess, because I'm trying to just get a sense of how long you were in a place before you started becoming a world traveler. Like, did you get to root in Hong Kong?
I think I did. I would say if there was one place that I got to root. In fact, I stayed in Hong Kong probably more than I did in Malaysia. But I'm a Malaysian national. I stayed in Hong Kong. I got married in Hong Kong. And I started my career in Hong Kong. So a lot of the great things of my life happened in Hong Kong. My first goddaughter is in Hong Kong. Four of my godchildren are in Hong Kong. So my great friends in Hong Kong are like my brothers and sisters. We are like family. We don't see each other as being, we're siblings. So I have an extended family in Hong Kong, which is really, really special.
If there's something I need, I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break, so stick around. You and I share, not a godchild, but we both have the great honor of being named godmother to our friends' children.
Yes.
And that has been since my first adult friend when I was 19 and she was 21. When she had her first child, she named me the godmother. And then throughout my life, I have been given the great honor. And I agree with you. It is an honor.
It is a real privilege that somebody would trust you with their child.
Yes. You take great, great pride in your godchildren. And I watch you.
I do. I am so proud of them. And, you know, Didi, she is such a savvy businesswoman. She's into eco-friendly garments and all that. So, you know, I watch her with great... I've known her since she was like 3. Mm-hmm. So, and now to see her, you know, a full bloom, gorgeous woman, it's, you take pride. You're right. I am so proud when I see them. And as for, I have 6 godchildren, so I'm very, very blessed. I have great friends who entrust them to me. But I always think, you know, they have such a full life. I'm only there when they need someone, so they know they can call me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have great friends who then gave you this
privilege.
And, you know, I don't think people just name just anybody. Like, I think it talks to the level of your depth of friendship with your friends who have named you the godmother. I think it's a designation of a very special tier of friendship. How do you, I have been on the receiving end of your friendship. I see you when you work. I have had the great fun of watching you be the head person on the work. For my listener, I think I have a listener. I like to think that my listener doesn't know that much about the film industry. When you get your daily assignment of the work that's going to be made that day, and everyone knows what time they have to show up at work and what work you're going to do from the movie, there are numbers assigned to people's names.
Right.
And
there's a phrase that we use, which is being number one on the call sheet, means that you are the star of the work, that it is pivoting off of you.
Right.
And the work we did together, you were and are the matriarch of the piece. It is your, I think that the essence of you that is then sort of sprinkled around people is such a open, like you're such a fun person to work with. So I'm curious about you sprinkling your fairy dust in your work and the level of expansion of your level of friendship in your work with people. And I mean, I don't need to, you know, Google you and to be able to talk about the work you've done. It's been all over the world in many languages, in many cultures, in many genres. And there is an essence of you. I don't care if you're playing some badass, you know, mean, tight matriarch or, you know,
a crazy weirdo.
Whatever, a weirdo. I thought you said widow. And I was thinking, ooh, a crazy widow is kind of a fun part. Yeah. But is that just your natural sense of your place in the universe? I bet you're that way with every flight attendant that comes near you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound like you're talking about yourself. That's exactly what I thought of you when you came on this. You breathed in and you just exude this great warmth and generosity of spirit. And you just embraced everyone. And that is how I hope people perceive of me as well. Because I think one of the main things is we truly love what we do. Mm-hmm. We choose to be where we are. We choose who we talk to. We are very blessed and lucky because we've come to a certain stage in our lives where I think we don't take any more BS because it's like, dude, I've heard it before so many times. It's like water off a duck's back, you know? It's like, dude, don't even bother to go down that track because it's not going to get you anywhere. If you're honest and sincere with me, you will get it doubly back from me. So that's all I ask from people. I will always put my heart out there in hope that I always believe there's good in people. And that's how I want the environment that I'm working in to be like. Because there's already so much messed up things out there in the world. If I can at least contribute towards my own working environment, that is what we need to do. Because when we are happy, I believe we transmit that happiness. Because we can come into the set, be like, pissed off and dark and gloomy. And within minutes or seconds, it will just spread. Like everybody will go, okay, number one is not in a good mood. You know, Jamie is not talking to anybody. It's just stay clear of the, you know, I think it is up to us to step up as well. If you want good vibes coming to you, I think we have to be the first one to give it out. And with me, with my family, with my friends, I really sincerely hope that's what I do all the time. It's like, life is so unpredictable. I've always knew that for a very long time. Things that are guaranteed. We are born and we will die. We will age and we will die. And we don't know when that's going to happen. So I learned to stop saving for a rainy day, you know, saving my most best dressed or something for the next best. No. Because if I want flowers, you know, I would send those flowers to myself because I believe I deserve them. And that's if that's what I want, that's going to make me happy for the day. And I think every day we deserve to find something that makes us happy. And then we can pay it forward. We will make somebody else happy and be happy that we did that. So life is very simple. I try to keep it as simple as possible and live it to the fullest as well.
Well, friendship is simple. From our earliest childhoods,
yes,
of reaching our hand out to somebody else and saying, yes, do you want to be my friend? And then holding their hand and going over to a little area that's just between the two of you and making a fort and playing dolls and, you know, whatever the interchange is, it starts with that openness of gesture, of generosity, of spirit. Yes. I think we get beaten by adolescence and, you know, the machinations of adolescence and the hierarchy of friendship, where all of a sudden people pair off in ways you feel outside of a group. Right. I just don't think as young children, there is that. I think we're open and we shut down with life is yes. hard. But I agree with you 100% about how you approach your work, your day, the privilege of it, and the paying it forward, that we're the luckiest people on earth to be able to creative life, to be able to make a living in a creative industry, to be women over 40, is working in an industry which is ageist and, you know, misogynistic. And here we are. We met, even though we play adversaries in the movie.
But what fun we had. Oh, my God. You taught me so much.
It was fun. It was fun. Again, for my listener, Michelle and I did a movie. I'll even say the name of it. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All
Everywhere, at Once. All at Once.
And it's a multiverse martial arts family dramedy. I couldn't explain it to you any more than that. But Michelle and I play adversaries who then become advocates in a very funny and weird.
Oh my God.
So I won't say any more except that when it is being released, I will suggest
so many stories to tell.
We will have a few stories to tell. In your travels and making friends with people, obviously, since I've known you, you have been to Australia.
I've been to Australia, and then I went back to Malaysia.
And then you were in Paris?
Since in Paris, I also went to Switzerland. I went to Finland. I went to Qatar. Then I went back to Malaysia. And now I'm here in Belfast.
And are you there for a period of time?
Yes, because of the quarantine and the, it's hard. It's hard to make a movie at this time. I think we all really have to be very collaborative. I'm doing this movie for Paul Feig. I adore this.
Oh, wonderful.
Friend. It will be so funny and so fun. It's called The School of Good and Evil. And yeah, I know exactly, right? And you know what? It's because of him. It's just a cameo. I have maybe 6-day, 7-day shoot, but over a period of 5 weeks. Normally, I would have gone back to Paris. I can, but I'll come back and be quarantined. But I think, you know, for the well-being of everyone, I shouldn't be so selfish and just stay here and be more isolated and be contained in the bubble. And you know what? When I finish quarantine, when I get out there, Paul Feig's wife, Laurie will be here. There will be so many amazing people to hang out with. So on set. And I'm looking forward to that.
I also have noticed, because to my listener, I follow Michelle Yeoh in the social medias. What I also love is your appreciation for nature.
Yes.
You're constantly outside. You're constantly exploring nature. Every city you're in, every place you go for work, you hike, you walk, you find the water.
Yes.
I have found that nature is as good of a friend as people. Often nature can be even a better friend sometimes. And I've noticed that about you without us knowing each other well, I've noticed that about you. Has that been since you were young? Have you had that affinity toward nature?
Yes, I would say yes, because my dad was a very, he loved the sea. He was a very naughty boy. He was a fish. He loved fishing. He loved being out in the ocean. So ever since we were little, we would go with him on the boats and, you know, fishing villages. And then also, you know, he had an orchard. So we were always amongst trees and walking. So nature for me is a gift. It truly is God's gift for us. And you know, remember we had that saying when we were making the film together that our feet must always be planted firmly on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's where we can grow our roots. And when we feel the earth on the ground, that's when you're really truly connected to who you are and the planet that why we're doing so much to protect this place. It's our planet. So I've always, and I mean, when I'm walking, I'm just not looking at the sky, I'm looking for like the little flower or the little bird or little things that I could walk the same path and find something different. And I think that for me is the beauty of the world. And that's why I love traveling. I've lived out of a suitcase, I must say, for the last maybe 18 years now. I haven't stopped traveling. But it comes to a point where you feel very lonely. Because, you know, I spend a lot of time on my own as well. For example, now I'm in quarantine for the next 10 days. So I am basically on my own. And I think what you must learn to do is to please enjoy your own company. You have to start from within. And when I go for these long walks, I talk to, I'm going to sound like a crazy woman and say I talk to myself. I think sometimes when we speak, like with my best friends, what we do is open a nice bottle of wine and we say, we don't need a psychiatrist. We just need our good friends who sit there with us, you know, one-on-one or just a couple of really, really good friends and, you know, speak our hearts out because there's no judgment. It's just honesty. It's just letting go, freeing ourselves. And I think that's a lot of the times walking for me helps me get that. And the other thing I really get is from a really great friend or good friends, you know, my sisters or my bros. We just sit there and we talk to each other. So that for me is like my friendship to nature and my friendship to a human being.
But you also talked about your friendship to yourself.
Yes.
Treating yourself. You mentioned about, I'm to my listener, I happened to be able to see Michelle at the beginning of our podcast, and she had some beautiful flowers behind her. And I asked about, because I knew she had just traveled to a new city. And she mentioned that they were sent from Jean, her beau. But you also said you could send them to yourself and you would order beautiful flowers for yourself. I think somebody who spends as much time on their own as you do, by the nature of your job means you travel to other places. I'm about to travel for a couple months and we're shooting, you know, in another country and I'm going to be alone a lot. You know, I too take very good care of myself. And I think you brought it up that to be a friend to yourself and treat yourself like a good friend is as important as mm-hmm. other people. And I think we forget that.
Yeah.
We think that we have to do for others rather than ourselves. And I just thought we could explore that for a minute because you travel so much. I know you go out in nature, as you just described, that you find in nature friendship and discovery and all of the beautiful aspects. I actually do find by myself.
You know why? Because I think it's very important. It's not about being selfish. I think there's a big difference when you say you love yourself, but it doesn't mean that when you love yourself, you just have to do everything that you want and disregard everybody else. I think what you have to do is love who you are. And when you, because if you're not a happy person, you're not going to be able to be happy with anybody. You know, it's like, you know, some people who are very aggressive. I think first you have to search within yourself and find that inner peace because it's all about your inner peace first. And for me, walking helps me to breathe. And a lot of the times when we're angry, when we're frustrated, we hold our breath and we keep holding it and we implode. And then one day it's just going to explode. And I feel so sorry for whoever is around you at that time. So what I'm trying to say is I didn't come easily. It's come over a period of time. It's come over, you know, being a Buddhist and also learning about other religions and listening to what they have to say, is at the end of the day, if you don't have the inner peace, it's very hard to be able to maintain a calm mind and an open-mindedness to be able to relate to other people. And if you look around and you see all the things that's happening around you, you sometimes just have to take a step back and go, it's okay. I think this COVID thing, this pandemic has really made it force us to take a step back and say, leave the baggages that we don't need behind, because we have to step forward to a new era where, you know, we have to live differently. We have to be a different person. We have to learn to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others and our planet. Otherwise, we will have no future. And I think we can only do that together. But first, we have to start with it. And I think with all my good friends, that's how we've always maintained that bond, is because we've always been very honest with each other. So we don't have expectations where, why haven't you called me for, you know, they're fine. If I go back to Hong Kong suddenly and I pick up the phone and I go, hey, girls, guys, I'm back. And someone will say, okay, I'm throwing you a dinner, blah, blah, blah. And we'll all just like come together. So which right. for me is such a blessing that you have friends. I don't have expectations of them where they have to do things to be my friend. And I think it works the other way around, because they know they have my love and respect all the time. If there's something I need, I don't already
have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something, we'll be right back with more good friend after this quick break. How do you handle conflict?
What kind of conflict?
Okay, well, I would like friend conflict. Conflict between yes. friends. Because I agree with you, by the way. I'm 60. I'm going to be, I don't even know how old I am. I believe, what year is it? We're in 2001.
2021.
So I'm 60. I'm 63 in November.
Oh, wow. You don't even look it. Cool, woman.
So serious. I'm 63 in November, and I'm in that point where, like you said, that feeling of expectation of people to be able to have somebody be like, well, you haven't called me. I'm at the point where I say, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I am so happy to be with you when we are together.
Right.
I am not able to carry you when I am off doing something else.
Right. You say it to them, right?
I try to. Yes.
Yeah. I've learned that I had with some, many of them understand. I have some great friends who they're so thoughtful. Everywhere they go, they come back and they buy gifts and things like that. From the word go, I say, do not expect me to do this. I don't even have time to do anything like that. So I think it's a precedence you start. And then once they get the hang of it, they're like, yeah, she's like that. So either you accept the fact she's like that, or you turn around and say, I guess I'll have to find another friend. The ones who have stayed throughout the years with me know and understand she's like that. And they've come to terms with it. But I'm sure the people who love you understand that's who you are. And if I want to continue this great relationship and friendship and love that we have for each other, this is how it has to be.
Yes, I think that is a growing understanding. I do think there are people who get very possessive.
Yes.
Yes. And there are some people who I refer to as vampires, who basically say, you are my life force and I need your life force to exist. And I find that to be a big concern, because I think it shows some very displaced attachment and disordered friendship. And at that point, I usually kind of gently try to take a step away.
Step back. When I was younger, yeah, I empowered them, you know, because you want to take care of your friend. And it's a bad relationship. It doesn't get better because it's like you say, you don't call them vampires for nothing, right? And unfortunately, the more you empower them, the more they become, you know, attached to you, and they will keep pushing away everybody else so that they can possess you in that way. So as now you learn to take a step back and go, okay, not going there, because I have a life that encompasses so many other things. If you are going to behave like this, you can be a friend, but you're not going to be a close friend. I think there's some relationships or friendships that has been like that. I think the biggest difficulty sometimes I have is when there are conflict between the friends. You know, you come back and then you go, what? What do you mean? This and my two, the group has sort of dispersed into, and then you go, no. And, you know, you have to accept it as well, because this is their development. This is how they have evolved. And you are not the savior. You cannot come in and say, let me fix the problem. I'm going to mend the pipes. It's not going to happen.
Right? Right.
They're adults. They're not like little kids where you can say, okay, give her back the toy and blah, blah, blah. We'll just hug and kiss and we can mend matters. When they're children, when you are adults, full grown men and women, you will have to resolve things. And if I cannot see you collectively, if I have to split up to see and spend time, I will do so, because I have to respect whatever is happening in their lives as well as they respect mine. So that's, I think for me, that sometimes is the most difficult.
It's interesting. That is the second thing that has never come up in these many conversations, is how do you deal with friends who are not the conflict with you, but the conflict between them, where you love both and you
don't choose.
Right. You don't choose, and you don't also betray the other's confidence, and you become a, you know, I think integrity. I call it being the vault. You know, being a vault, being someone who, when you tell me something, it doesn't leave me. That is such a long learned process, because of course, when we're teenagers and we tell secrets and then they get out and we feel betrayed by the secret teller, that person becomes what we call a gossip or a tattler, or that you can't trust them with information. I know Chris and I have an adult friend, and if something's going on and I'll say something, he'll say, well, don't mention it to so-and-so because everyone will know. And I think about that and I think, wow, that's a heavy truth to say about someone, that you can't trust them not to speak of something that you bring to them in right. a trusting way. And so it's interesting, because we haven't discussed or explored this idea at all of that conflict. And you're right, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And you're trying to honor both and trying to, you know, help both through it. I have found recently in a couple situations that I've said to someone, you know, you're in conflict with this person, this person, this person, and this person.
Oh, yeah.
What's the common denominator? You.
No.
Like, you know, that moment where you have to look in the mirror, you're looking at the problem.
Right.
And the solution. Because the solution to the problem is your acknowledgement of your constant conflict with everyone else. And then you also have the ability and humility to be able to look at it and go, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Right.
Okay, so I'm the problem. And then you can fix it. Because if you actually look at it and say, okay, it's something in me, there's plenty of ways to explore that. So that was such an interesting point. Because of course, if you're the person who leaves and goes off and does your work, as you do so well, by the way, when you come back and you come into a friend group and there's conflict,
right?
It's such an interesting thing to navigate with good friends.
I think we just learn not to take sides. You know, it's like if you're great friends with a couple and there's a problem in the marriage, it's like we always say, we do not take sides. We do not throw fuel on the fire. We just listen. And, you know, hopefully sometimes when you say something out loud, you can hear how ridiculous you are. Or maybe that's not such a big problem. Why are you making such a big deal out of it? But it's not for me to tell you that. It's you have to hear yourself. So I think sometimes for me with my friends, it's about listening to each other. You know, when you say it out, maybe you hear your own answer. You'll hear what you're trying to, you know, what you're bitching about. Or maybe there is nothing to bitch about.
We call that a sounding board. Mm-hmm. I will be here to receive and you will hear. Right. I will listen, but you will hear.
I will listen.
But you will hear yourself. And in that sounding board, often you're right. The answer comes to you in your silence, the receiver, mm-hmm. and just the bearing witness. And then often they can work out
something. Because we have a saying, you know, like you drive yourself to a corner and you don't know how to get out of the corner. You're just bumping yourself left and right because you're stuck in that corner. So what we do is we just turn you around and
change the point of view. And now you have nothing but opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what my friends and we try and do for each other is just be there.
And turn us around when we're stuck in the corner.
It's like a good dancing partner. Keep you on your toes, but keep turning you around.
I love you, Michelle Yeoh. Thank you for being such a good friend. I miss you too. I am so lucky to call you a good friend. Me and my listener on the Good Friend podcast, we are lucky to have you be a guest. And for my listener, you've been listening to the Good Friend podcast. My guest today is Michelle Yeoh. And I remind you all to stay safe and God bless you all and stay tuned or come back or however you listen. Thank you, Michelle, for being here. Good Friend is produced by Dylan Fagan and is a production of iHeartRadio. Our theme song, Good Friend, is written, produced, and performed by Emily King.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.